All right. Believe. Believe what? That there are angels? That Jesus died on the cross for our sins? That all the miracles in the Bible actually happened? That the tribulation is coming? That abortion is a mortal sin? That marriage must be a lifetime commitment between one man and one woman? That only men shall be ordained to the ministry? That God somehow anoints the beliefs or agendas of one person or group over those of anyone else? That our particular understanding of our faith excludes all other understandings, especially those we don't understand? Really? Please join me in prayer. Lord God, we lift up this morning's message. May it touch our hearts, may it speak clearly to our souls, that we may come to believe and more fully comprehend your eternal and undying love for us and for all of the family of God. Amen. We are all constantly confronted with the choice of what to believe and how. Do we believe literally all that the Bible says? And what does literal mean, actually? Literalism presents us with many challenges and contradictions that are impossible to resolve. So, do we instead believe the scriptures through viewing them through the lenses of metaphor and allegory? Do we ignore the passages that we see as outmoded, focusing on those that seem more relevant? Or should we go even farther, perhaps picking and choosing what seems nice from the smorgasbord of other beliefs, traditions, and ancient wisdom that we encounter everywhere in today's world? I love what the author of Hebrews has to say about all of this morning's reading. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. It seems plain from this that there has never been a single voice deciding what is or is not to be believed as part of our faith. The author of Hebrews is acknowledging that the prophets don't all agree with each other, often speaking in ways that seem contradictory, or at least hard to reconcile with other ancient writings, especially when taken literally. And this, in fact, is deliberate, since the purpose of the prophets was to disrupt conventional wisdom and practice. Now, every author of the 66 books in the Protestant Bible see and portray God's word in unique ways. And then there are the 73 books of the Catholic Bible. And then there are the 81 books of the Ethiopian Bible. And there are other Bibles as well, all within the Christian tradition. So not only is there disagreement between various scriptures within our Protestant Bible, but disagreement between various branches of Christianity as to what is part of the Bible at all. And then there are the tens of thousands of variations, at least 30,000 variations have been documented between the ancient scriptural texts, the best record we have of what was originally written. So there is no single right Bible, and there never has been. So how can there be a single right reading of Scripture? Because there is no single universal scriptural standard by which we can judge what is right to believe or not. But that's okay. Because belief is not about believing the right thing. We will not be condemned to hell for believing the wrong thing. Belief is not a certainty that there is a perfect, eternal, and unchanging truth upon which all knowledge and all reality depend. In fact, that belief is a teaching of ancient Greek philosophy, not Judaism. God is eternal. But is God unchanging? Not in this universe, Our universe is an expression of our Creator. It's a universe that is constantly changing and growing. In fact, the more we learn about God's universe, the more we discover through things like quantum mechanics and subatomic physics or astronomy or biology, that unpredictability and randomness pervade all of God's creation. Science and faith, therefore, both agree that it is impossible to know anything at all with absolute certainty. There are no absolutes in this universe. It's all relative. What we believe about the world is based upon the knowledge we currently have. But we are constantly learning more. The very idea that God is still speaking is based upon this fact that since the world around us is constantly changing and evolving, then God must also be changing and evolving since God is present within all of creation. Therefore, since God loves us, God must be intent on ensuring that we can walk with God on our mutual journey into the future. This requires communication with God and new revelations of the nature of God and of God's love for us all the time. God is still speaking. So in this light, belief is not a noun. It's a verb. It's a process, not a state, not a goal. Belief can also be imagined as a journey. The movement along a path from one place to another, a voyage of discovery as we walk with God towards the unimaginable future. And we see this movement, like any movement, relative to where we've been. We know where we've been. We don't know yet where we'll end up. Nothing, after all, is absolutely certain. We can't measure the road ahead of us, only the road we've already traveled, because that is the road, the only road, that we already know. Therefore, our journey is with God, not to God. We believe in a God who is here and now, not elsewhere or elsewhen. We believe in a God who lives, a God who moves, a God who may have a goal in mind for us, but does not know how we will get there, since that decision is up to us, not to God. And the path to achieving that goal is certainly uncertain. It is our journey, and the inherent unpredictability of the universe is undeniable evidence that God has placed the very nature and course of that journey in our hands. Our path through life is not predetermined. The future begins now. The future relies upon the choices we make now. So, what is belief? There are no absolutes to believe in. There's no certainty to believe in. The only constant is change. No, actually, I messed with you a bit on that. Actually, there are two absolutes. Jesus says in Matthew 22, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind," which we call the Great Commandment. Repeating words found in Deuteronomy 6. Jesus then adds, "Love your neighbor as yourself," the second great commandment. He then says, most importantly, "The rest of the law and all the teachings of the prophets hang upon these two commandments." What is important here is how Jesus and many other ancient and modern voices order these things. The law and the prophets, which the ancient Jews understood to mean all of what we now know as the Judeo-Christian tradition, is subservient to these two commands. In other words, love is not subject to the law is subject to love. Which immediately makes it clear that we cannot put obstacles in the way of those seeking to love. As Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, do not stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God shall belong. Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." We are not to put obstacles in front of the faith of others. Nor are we to seek to control or determine who or what they can love or what they are to believe. And so, judging another's faith or beliefs or practices based on conformance to some law or based upon our interpretation or understanding of the laws in the Bible is wrong. Yes, even if we think they're seriously whacked. Our judgment reduces the world and our faith to simply black and white. Yes or no, a judgment of whether you're in or you're out. Jesus answers this tendency we all have very simply in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, saying, "Do not judge so that you will not be judged." In his recent address to Congress, Pope Francis made these same points when he said, "There is another temptation which we must especially guard against, the simplistic reductionism which sees only good or evil, or, if you will, the righteous and sinners. The contemporary world, with its open wounds which affect so many of our brothers and sisters, demands that we confront every form of polarization which would divide us into these two camps. We know that in the attempt to be freed of the enemy without, we can be tempted to feed the enemy within. To imitate the hatred and violence of tyrants and murderers is the best way to take their place. Our response must instead be one of hope and healing, of peace and justice. While I may not agree with him on everything, the Holy Father is right here, saying that we are to believe in others, believe that God is working in and through them, just as we believe that God works in and through us, even though they do not see or express their relationship with God in the same way as we do our own. This point was brought home just a few days ago when we learned that the Pope had a private audience with Kim Davis, that Kentucky court clerk who went to jail for refusing to issue marriage certificates, because to her this meant she was endorsing gay marriage. When this papal audience first came out in the news, many folks I know in the ministry and many voices for progressive Christianity and social justice all condemned the Pope for doing this, for such a violation, for endorsing or at least condoning her sin. "He's showing his true stripes," they said. "He's still leading a repressive, misogynistic church," they said, "and he's no different than the rest of them," he said. But given the Vatican's recent statement as to the real nature of that meeting, such hysteria is now rightly seen as foolish and overblown. But why do people say such things about those who believe differently than they do? Do they believe that God is with others or not? I believe the Pope is serious in his determination to share the love of God with everyone, because he is convinced that God's presence and love will manifest in everyone, no matter who they are, because God loves them and God believes in them. The Holy Spirit within them cannot be kept at bay forever. It will break forth. And it is through such belief that miracles happen. Hearts are changed. Broken spirits, minds, and bodies are healed. Relationships are created or restored. And with each of these miracles, the promise of the kingdom of God becomes a bit more tangible to all who walk alongside us here in God's world. And frankly, if we cannot believe in each other, then can we believe in anything at all, even the love God has for us? So believe and don't worry. God is with you. Amen.